What are you doing?
What am I doing?
Yes.
Oh, I'm just listening to a fat man breathe really heavy. Apparently, that's how I get my jollies now.
Just another Wednesday night for you, John.
We're back. Set the groovy groove, get everybody in jacuzzi moods, all the cute babies and their choosy dudes as we sit and vibe to some bluesy tunes. Who wants to talk to this DJ when you're all too busy rocking your bodies? I wanna chill with the girls and just sex appeal, but nobody's over here. I think DJ was the wrong career. Are you sure you're okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just putting some chairs on the patio.
Why are you doing all this work?
I work. I don't know why. They were having a sale on wicker patio furniture today, this week, and so I had to stop and get some because I had to decide what color we want. So I gotta put chairs on the patio so Tiffany can decide what color we want. Because that's what we do. Does color matter?
This is gonna be like the worst quality podcast ever. Because at one point you're perfectly loud, and another point you're so like you're miles away, and you're huffing and puffing like you're carrying a freaking boulder up a mountain.
Yeah, I just now been noticed because I got my Bluetooth in, and my microphone was kicked up over the top of my head. So, I'm kicking ass tonight, John. So, all right, I'm officially done. Done working.
You're done working.
I'm gonna sit in my colorful chairs on my patio, and I'm done.
Okay, you're done.
Yes. Okay. Because this color makes a difference on how my butt feels in a chair.
I feel like this was an area of contention.
No, I was just like, I just want to get some chairs. Well, they got to match the house. My butt doesn't care if they match the house. No. But that's all right. So, all right, what do you want to talk about?
Well, as enamored as I am with the conversation of the color of outdoor chairs, I thought we could talk about a couple of things here. I got a list. I made a list. All right. Was prepared this time.
Good.
I mean, it's only been 4 years since we've done this, and I finally know to be prepared.
Yeah, Kaylee's four, so yeah, that's about right.
Well, it's not that it's been 4 years since we've done it. I think what it is we should let people know we actually time traveled 4 years. We invented time travel, and it worked. So that's the reason.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So.
And man, and the ability to create time travel, I couldn't figure out how to make myself thinner and in better shape.
Well, no, yeah. I mean, we left 4 years ago fat. We came back 4 years fat.
Damn, they haven't come up with any better technology. Shit. Oh, well. So what's your list? What do you got? What's
okay,
first?
So Toys R Us is closing, right?
Yes.
You've heard this. I would assume
yes,
you've heard
the signs everywhere. Yes.
Yeah. How do you feel about this? Do you care?
Honestly, I don't care because it was really never. It was more of a nostalgia thing with me. You know, back growing up in the '80s and stuff. I mean, there was only a limited amount of toy stores, and Toys R Us was the place as a kid. But now that I'm an adult and I'm a parent, I realized that Toys R Us kind of sucks as a parent because they are way overpriced. Granted, Amazon and online shopping and everywhere else has kind of diminished, you know, you get everything for a pretty reasonable rate now. And I'm not surprised that they're going out of business. I mean, back in the 80s and stuff growing up, yeah, it was the place to go to where you got all of the name brand toys. Now, their prices are just, they're too high. I mean, I can get everything at Toys R Us I can find on Amazon or somewhere else cheaper, and it's the exact same thing.
Yes, this is true. So, okay, but you, so like in the age of Toys R Us, like the its heyday, the 80s, you were, you lived in Indiana, right? Instead of Tennessee. I mean, is it, I mean, was that any different? Do you think that was any different than what it was here? Because I'll be honest with you, because we're backwoods, middle of nowhere. I went to Toys R Us maybe once a year when I was a kid.
Well, we were the same way because, I mean, we lived out in the country, and the closest Toys R Us for us was a 45-minute drive.
Yeah.
You know, it was in a really big city, and we would only go there, like, maybe once every 2 months. My parents really needed some stuff and wanted to go shopping in the big city. And then it was just like, hey, can we please go to Toys R Us? Please, please, please. You know, since we're over here, it was like, hey, I get to go to the great toy store. Because the only other thing that was available is, like, we'd go to the mall and there was the KB Toys.
Right.
That was pretty much it. That's all there was.
So did you have a KB Toys that was closer to you than Toys R Us?
Yes. Yeah, the main mall that we frequented, which was about a 20-minute drive, and that's considered close where I live, they had a KB in the mall, and that's where we went almost every weekend.
Nice.
Is the mall.
So... Well, that's almost exactly what it was like for us. Like, so it was at least an hour and a half drive for us because we didn't even have a lot of the major interstate that they have now. So a lot of it was driving through the middle of other towns just to get up to the big town. So like an hour and a half to Toys R Us, but 30 minutes away, there was a mall with KB Toys.
Yep.
And I remember when that KB Toys shut down, that was it. Like, that mall became dead. They had a CD shop. And once that was gone, because it was locally owned, so it wasn't like a big retailer like Best Buy or something used to be back in the day. But so it was locally owned, so it was able to hang in there a little bit longer. But man, once KB Toys was gone, it was just, there was nothing. That mall died.
Yeah, and that was the thing. Like, the main thing for Toys R Us is we would go there, you know, like in October and November. Because I remember, as a kid, I didn't realize what was happening. But now I realize what they were doing. So October, November, we would go. And we'd spend a lot of time at Toys R Us. Well, basically, it was, you know, that pre... you know, Christmas, and it's like, okay, so I'm just like walking around, you know, and they're gauging, you know, the interest, you know, and I'd get maybe one thing, and then it's like, Christmas is here, and hey, Santa brought me everything I wanted, amazing.
So what do you think about, have you heard that somebody has taken control of the KB name and is trying to bring back brick-and-mortar KB stores?
I saw something about that. I didn't read the article and stuff. I just kind of saw that there's a possible comeback for the KB Toys.
So apparently what has happened is the KB name has not been used by whatever mega conglomerate financial... bureaucratic business owns it. Whoever owns the name, they have not used it in at least 3 years, and that kind of opens it up for public domain. In as long as you use it in a way that is similar enough to its original use. So
that's easy enough,
right? So this company that is specifically—it's the same people. It's the same parent company that owns LinkedIn. They have actually gone through all of the legal hubbaloo that they've got to go through to make this a thing and now have the ability to open KB stores again.
Nice.
And apparently this is something they've done before. I don't remember what other kind of names they've used, but they've pulled names out of the past for nostalgia's sake, and they say that's their purpose. They want to resurrect these names from people's childhoods for nostalgia's sake. So they're not even going into this with the hope of making a profit per se. I mean, they'll have to turn over something to keep it open, I'm sure, but that's not
right.
That's not the intent. So, of course, that's probably going to mean you're still going to have the same ridiculous markups that you did at, like, Toys R Us, because at this point, they're trying to appeal that it's an experience versus a place to shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what?
I get that.
It might be fun to be able to take, you know, your kids or whatnot in and say, look, KB Toys. And, of course, they'll walk around for 10 minutes and say, this is just a crappier Toys R Us. I want Toys R Us back. But still, you know, it might be fun. I don't know how useful or how much it will actually get used. But it could be fun. So
yeah, it'd be interesting. But, yeah, that'd be cool to kind of see for a little bit. But, I mean, it's just like everything else. I mean, the online market and the online stores and stuff are kind of killing those kinds of things. I mean, the kids this day and age, the millennials, you know, they just aren't going to get that experience because everything is so accessible, like right now,
yeah.
To where trips to the Toy Store aren't like a special treat, you know?
Oh.
There were things growing up, there were two things, like a trip to the Toy Store, I was feeling special, and a trip to the video store. Those are the two things in my life that I always looked forward to and thought were special occasions. Now, both of those, basic obsolete.
Yep. I've actually had Jasper say, can you look it up on Amazon and have the mailman bring it?
Mm-hmm.
Just something he sees on TV and be like, yeah, let's order that. He's not even like, I mean, every now and then he's like, hey, let's go to Walmart, let's go to town, let's go to the mall or something. But a lot of the time it's just like, hey, let's order that.
Yep, they literally have turned, and that's the thing is they don't realize that they have all become what we joked about in the past, is we joked about people who sat and watched the Home Shopping Network.
Yeah,
it was horrible. And literally everybody has turned into those old people sitting on the couch watching the Home Shopping Network, and that's all they're doing.
Yep. Sure is. So, okay, so moving on here, I wanted to ask you have seen Black Panther, right?
Yes.
Okay, so without any spoilers, what'd you think? Because I've not seen it, and I probably won't end up seeing it until it comes out on video at this point, but...
I would have to say it's probably right up there as probably my number two Marvel movie.
Okay, what's your number one?
Oh, Thor Ragnarok by
far. Oh, okay, nice.
It's going to be really tough to topple Thor Ragnarok. Now, Black Panther did a lot of it because there was a lot of good mixed in humor to it.
Yeah.
The only thing is I can't justify to it because I'm not too familiar with the actual Black Panther comic. I don't know that much about it and the stories and the villains and how everything was. Now, from what I've heard, you know, they really stayed true and it really kind of went with it. But the whole story about all of them and just kind of they didn't go in depth into backstories, but they did enough to where it's like, okay, I get the whole idea of Wakanda, I get the idea of these people, I know who they are, I know what they're doing. And then they moved on and, you know, they took the next step. I thought it was very well done. The actors did an amazing job in it. There was just enough humor in it, just kind of like Thor Ragnarok. They put, you know, a lot more humor in it. The interaction between the characters and stuff was really good, and this was about the same. It tied some more movie ends together. it was good. They really did a good job. I've noticed that they seem to be catching on and stepping up the movie. As the more movies come out, they seem to be stepping it up and they seem to be doing a better job, you know, with the character interaction more.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So, you also saw Ready Player One, right?
Oh,
yes. Well, that sounded like a laugh of approval.
Oh, that is, if you are a nostalgic 80s, 90s nerd, you know, everything about that, this is literally like, it is an overload of everything that you could possibly think of that was true to your heart when you were growing up as a kid. Now, kids going to see it now, they might recognize some of the stuff, and they'll just be like, oh yeah, Dad, I know you talk about that, or I saw you do that, or something like that. They're not going to get it. You could watch this movie, you know, 100 times, and every single time, you're going to pick up something new in the background. Another character, you're like, oh, that's in there, oh, that's in there, oh, that's in there. The whole movie is nothing but one gigantic bowl of nostalgia.
So
it was...
Does the nostalgia, like, override story? Like, is it just, like, a basic story?
No.
Okay.
No. The story fits in perfect. You watch it the first time, and you follow the story, and you catch clips. But you are caught up in the story, and it holds you. You're not just sitting there like, okay, let's get on with it. It's kind of like, okay, well, how are they going to do this? How are they going to do this? You know, what's next? What's next? You go all the way through, and it's just like, wow, that's cool. Then you immediately want to go back and watch it a second time to be like, okay, I know what's going on. Now I can pay attention to all the background. And it's just, I caught myself in the movie a couple of times just out loud, just going, oh my gosh, that's in here. Because it was good. And I left there thinking the same thing, like, okay, was I caught up in just all the cool references that they made? But I was thinking, I was like, no, it was actually a good story. It was really well done. Now, I didn't read the book, so I don't know how accurate it is to the book. But I feel that if I would have read the book, that they did a very good job, because I feel that the book, what that did the best is made references to a bunch of the nostalgia parts of it. And that was what made the book really good, is, you know, you could picture what they were talking about because you lived it. That was part of your childhood.
Yeah.
And I think they did a good part of that. They basically took everything that you could possibly ever think of back in that day and put it in this movie. As small and minute as it could be, but they did it. But, yeah, it's a highly I recommend that highly.
Okay, so do you have a rating scale? Would you rate Black Panther and Ready Player One?
I would give Black Panther probably out of 10. I would give Black Panther probably about an 8, and Ready Player One I would definitely put up there as about an 8.59.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that I really enjoyed Ready Player One. That was really good.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed that. To move things along here, because I'm terrible at segues, what have you seen on Kickstarter that has piqued your interest lately?
I would like to boast, it just closed today, actually. It finally finished. The solo game Unbroken.
Oh yeah, you were telling me about that.
I back that, and I like solo games. They're okay, you know. I don't mind them and stuff. They're not something that I like dwell over. Like One Deck Dungeon, I enjoy it and stuff. It's not one that I'm just like itching to get to the table and I play, because a lot of the dice mechanic, there is a random element to it. It's, you know, you can mitigate it to a point, but it's still pretty good. Unbroken, on the other hand, I really believe that they have combined the solo aspect of decision making and making it so that you're not either completely overwhelmed and you just don't stand a chance, or you're completely overpowered and it's just no fun.
Yeah.
The game has an amazing balance. There is enough randomness to it, but it also gives you enough choices to where you're like, man, what do I want to do? These are both good choices, but the path you take really depends on how, you know, you have to fight the boss. To give a little background, the whole game is based on, you are the sole surviving member of a 4-party raid on a dungeon. You and your party went into a dungeon, and you got ambushed by the creatures in there. And they killed everybody in your party except you. They beat you within an inch of your life, took all of your weapons, took all of your armor, took everything from you, but you managed, basically played dead until they went away. So you are literally at the brink of death, and your sole purpose is you gotta climb up four levels of this dungeon and try and find your way out while hiding and maneuvering from creatures. So as you go along, you're finding rations for food. Everything you do is built on effort. You know, how much effort you can do, and you try and gather that. You can find scraps of metal or wood to build weapons to try and fight, you know, and improve your stuff. But it's never anything like super powered. I mean, you can build up, you start off with your bare hands, and then you can build, you know, get a club or a knife if you get the right materials, and then you can build up to like a crude axe. But it takes a lot of materials, and you have to find it, and it's nothing like, wow, I got an axe, now I can kill everything. No, you've literally taken a stick, and you've wrapped vine around a piece of metal, and you've made like an axe, is all that you've done.
So you actually have to get the components.
Yes, you actually, as you're going through, it requires like, okay, I need two pieces of wood and two pieces of metal. Well, the part of the game is as you're going through, you have time. There's a time component, and you got to build up effort. And each level, there is a big bad boss in each level that is basically hunting you, because he knows you're there and he's hunting you. You have so much time. And if you run out of time, then the monster ambushes you. If the monster ambushes you, then bad things happen because it ambushed. Or you can spend some time and effort to scout, and then you see what the monster is. So you know what you need and his weaknesses are, that you could better help prepare yourself, but it costs time. So as you're waiting for your time to go down, you're basically exploring. And each explore, you know, has like, you wander across some edible moss. You spend one time, but you gain one food. You need food, you know, so that you don't die.
Right.
And it is never, you're never like, wow, I've got such a surplus, there's just no chance or anything. Like I said, I did the print and play, and I played it at work, and I immediately played it again after that.
you just incriminated yourself. If anybody ever actually listens to these, they're just like, you've been playing at work.
People from work, oh my gosh, my boss is like, you listen to, how in the world did you even find that? But yeah, and the first time I was basically learning the rules. The second time I played it, I beat the game. I beat it. I literally beat the last boss, crawled out at the end, and I crawled out with zero effort. You can have zero effort, but if you have to spend another effort, that's when you die. But I had zero effort, zero food, because at the end of every boss fight, you also have to eat so that you survive. I had zero food, zero wood, zero treasure, zero everything, and one piece of metal. I literally crawled out of that dungeon on my hands and knees, exhausted, with one small piece of metal.
Nice.
And then at the end, there's a scoring. Based on what you come out of that dungeon with, you get points. And based on how many points you have is how, you know, your level of like, hey, you're, you know, a treasure hunter, or you're like, you know, all these different levels and stuff. And with my one piece of metal, I think I was just a, like, bear survivor or something like that. It was just like, I'm alive.
You're just alive.
Thank God.
You are Les Stroud, Survivor Man, just barely squeaking it out.
Yeah, but the best thing, the whole thing is all decision-driven. It's your choices. You are always given two choices, and it's entirely up to you. There is a dice component, and the only thing the dice component does is that each boss has different attacks, 1 through 6. And based on your roll, that's the attack that it does. And that's the only random component out of the whole thing. You roll the dice, and the monster does whatever attack it is. Now, there's abilities and skills that you can eventually get that can kind of change the dice outcome a little bit. But for the most part, it's all completely your decisions. It's like, what do I want to do? Which of these choices do I want to do? How do I, much time do I want to spend? Do I want to spend more time and get more stuff, or spend less time and get this one item here? You know, yeah. So it's by far, I love it as a solo game. It's going to be, I think it's going to be the next main thing, and it's really going to hit the charts and go up pretty quick on the solos.
Well, I came across one. Well, there's actually a couple I've been looking at. Have you seen Maximum Apocalypse? I know that's...
No.
Okay, so yeah. That's one of them that apparently is got real hot there for a while. It's got a Kickstarter now for an expansion. I looked into it, and it's a hair, just a hair out of my price range if I wanted to get everything. So I kind of looked over it because I might try to pick it up later from Miniature Market or Cool Stuff Inc., something like that. Mm-hmm. But everybody is saying that it's one of the best survival games that have a solo variant. But while I was looking at their Kickstarter, I came across another one that is called I Am the Fourth Wall. And it's...
I saw that.
Okay, so it is... And it's like, this is one of those things that 50% of the people are like, oh, that's awesome. And then another 50% are like, oh my God, can we just get past this? It is Cthulhu. It is Lovecraft mythos. And of course, I'm in that 50% that says, oh, this is awesome. But mm-hmm. they've taken it... The game system is taking it to such a level of versatility. It's not just everybody against an AI monster like most of the Cthulhu games out there.
Mm-hmm.
One player gets to be the monster. And and that's not even required, because here's where the versatility is. There is an AI component for the monster. So if everybody wants to play full co-op, you can. There is rules for solo play. There are rules for 1v1. The versatility on the number of players is ridiculous, or the different types
wow.
of players, and it's up to 7 people at a time.
Oh my gosh.
And the game mechanic, so the way it works, I watched a gameplay video that was essentially if it were one player playing the wall, which is what they call the monster, and then 3 people as investigators, and the monster gets a turn in between every player, every investigator's turn. One player can play multiple investigators if they want to. So in between every investigator turn, there is a monster turn. There is a wall turn. The wall actually has 2 different types of turns, and he can choose which turn he wants to make. One of them is called the Brood turn, and then one of them is called the Wrath turn. So essentially, the Brood turn was refill everything, untap everything, get everything back in order. The Wrath turn is, you know, let loose all hell. And the thing is the number of actions the wall can take is dependent upon what the investigator did the turn before. So the investigator can decide to go all out and just take advantage of the board as best it can, and they have this one mechanic that's called, I think it was something along the lines of taking advantage of the rift or something like that, or the portal, because there's portals. You got to close the portals, keep the monsters from coming through. So you can actually, the investigators can use the magic from the portals, but when they do that, it gives actions to the wall. So it makes the investigator's turn run more smoothly, and they're able to accomplish more in a turn. But then when it comes over to the wall's turn, you know, he's going to pretty much take out all the investigators. So the investigators have to find this balance between how much leeway they want to give the wall, and then the wall has to find this balance on which turn do I want to do. Do I want to do a Brood turn, or do I have enough actions that I can do a Wrath turn? And then there's this other mechanic where the wall can designate. So the game has up to a total of 5 portals. The investigators want to close all the portals. The wall wants to open all the portals, and that's pretty much how you decide who wins or who loses the game. So you start the game. I believe they said normal difficulty was with three portals open. Well, the wall can designate one of his monsters, one of his minions that he has out, as just like the ultimate toll. And the investigators have to take care of that monster before they can even touch the portals.
Oh, wow.
And when the wall does that, when he activates it, like the monsters will have abilities on them that the wall can spend action points to do. But then if he designates this as like the monster for this turn, then it activates this even more powerful ability on it. It's like he is granting, you are officially my avatar for this next turn, and just makes him he turns into a mini boss. And then all the investigators have to deal with this mini boss before they can even start touching portals. So the investigators have to deal with the mini boss while the wall may be over here working on opening more portals. And then the investigators are like, well, we can get rid of the mini boss if we pull some energy from the portals, but then that's going to give more actions over to the wall. So then if they defeat the mini boss, the wall has more actions, so then he can use all the little actions on his minions and designate a new hole. And it's just this,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's just this constant back and forth that I was just like, that looks like so much fun. And they even got me to the point that I backed it like the extra $10 to get the deluxe, because it comes with a nice neoprene mat and this nice little magnetic box. And because really, if you're going to play this game solo, that's essentially what the mat is for, is for solo play.
Yeah.
It needs something to keep everything organized, but...
Oh, yeah.
It's because there's a lot of components to it. But another thing that I really like about it is they don't take themselves as seriously as, like, the Fantasy Flight official Cthulhu Mythos stuff. Because in this one, instead of, you know, you have your health, and then you have your sanity, or you have madness, and then all the monsters are these horrible, terrifying creatures, the artwork is a little more cartoony without being ridiculous, which I really like. The artwork they have for all of the monsters, for Cthulhu and Haster and all of them, looked amazing. I loved it. It looked like something off of what you would find like a heavy metal album from the 80s.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's something that you'd see on, like, I don't know, Meat Loaf. So, the awesome. Artwork is great. I love that. But instead of having all of these different, despite the fact that there is a ton an investigator has to keep up with, your life and your sanity are the same thing, but it's not considered sanity. It's called your marbles. And your marbles is how many cards you have in your hand. So if you spend all of your cards, you have lost all of your marbles, and your investigator is defeated.
You've lost your marbles,
yep.
Of course. That's
yep.
Perfect. That's perfect for that.
But there is no player elimination. Once your investigator is out of the game, you get a new investigator. But
yeah.
When that happens, the wall gets an action. So if you do get eliminated, it makes the wall stronger.
Of course.
I mean, it's just, it looks like a really well put together game with such versatility. You can be like, well, you know, there's nobody here and I really want to, you know, play something. Boom, I am the fourth wall. Oh, hey, look, all these people showed up my house. I've got seven people. What are we going to do? Oh, I am the fourth wall. Oh, hey, you know, it's just me and Libby and we want to play some. Oh, I am the fourth wall. You know, and she's like, well, I don't want to play against you. I want to play co-op. Okay, we can do that. You know, and it's just the fact that they worked all this together in this box. And by all rights, it's actually not an expensive game. The thing that's getting me is because it's in Australia, so it's shipping that's going to kill me.
Yeah.
But, like, it's $25 American US for just
wow.
the basic game. Yeah.
Yeah, now, that's pretty good.
Once you add on shipping, it's like $32. But so it's not that bad, really.
Yeah.
For everything that you're getting. As far as a game goes, it looks great. I can't wait for it. They're probably.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I think they're going to do a print and play, but I don't know if I'm going to go to that much trouble because there are a lot of components. But, oh, God. I've just, the more I think about it, the more I'm like, I've got to play this game right now.
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
I'll be,
as soon as you get that, I'd like to try that. That sounds like a whole lot of fun.
Okay, well, we have recorded for a whole 35 minutes.
Feels like, wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that is good. I think that's a good place to stop.
Works for me.
Works for me. Say bye, Andrew.
Bye, Andrew.
Oh, God, that's just terrible.
I know. That's why I did it.
My name is Nervous Test Pilot. I don't spit game because I don't know what that means, and also spitting is a bit rude. This record has been called In Them Pants, Brackets, Wrong Career, and has featured the vocal stylings of myself and Mr. Acradian Burn. We hope that you will respect others and lead a more productive life.
Game of tag is at an end, and it's time to go. Except you'll be leaving in rather a spectacular way, in little pieces.